Father, we just want to meet with you this morning. We want to be open. We want to lay our lives down, lay down all of our cares and thoughts and plans, and just come and meet with you. We ask for your presence, for your anointing, for your power, because nothing can happen if you don't show up and do it, Lord. Words are just words unless you put your life in them. So we're depending on you. We're pleading with you because we need new life. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, we're going to, well, before I go there, God is looking for some people. I don't know if you know who Wade Taylor is. He just died last February. He's probably near 90. And his wife died in April. No, February, March. Yeah, in April. So they both just died, and their daughter is keeping their ministry on the website going. But he was called and anointed of God to preach to end-time ministers and prepare them. So I listened to one of his messages yesterday in memory of him, and it was just so exciting because he talked about the glory of God and how Moses' face was shining with the glory, and the people heard the thunder, and they saw the lightning, and they knew God's presence was there, and they backed up. We don't want that much of God. But Moses wanted that much and more. You know, he went up and came out with a glow. And Wade said, I know I've been around people who don't want as much of God as what I have, but nobody's asked me to veil my face. So I don't even have what Moses had, and we're supposed to have more than Moses had. And he said he was at a point where he was discontent because he wasn't seeing the fullness of the glory of God that he wanted in his life. But then God reminded him about, we are changed from glory to glory to glory. He said, so now as long as I know that the glory in the meeting is a little more than the glory was in the last meeting, and I see the glory of God in my life more than I did yesterday, I'm content that I'm on my way, and glory is increasing in my life. Glory being the very presence of God. You know, we talked about that the things we were reading the other day where we talked about in Isaiah 58, that when we give God our life and let him live through us, then our light will shine forth. That's the glory that will shine forth. So God is looking for some people within a people. A lot of people are saved. A lot of people are in church. A lot of people come and they seek to know him. But he's looking for special people who will go all the way and let the fullness of God shine in their life. Lay down the selfishness, the pride, everything. So I think a lot of us want to be that kind of a person. So this is a person who wants the one-on-one, very personal, close relationship with God. So what does it take to be that person? We're going to go in Revelation chapter 3. God is talking, Jesus is talking to the end-time churches and telling them what they need to change. And I've studied and studied this and always hoped that the one church we don't find ourselves in is Laodicea, the ones that were lukewarm. God said, this morning we're going to look at ourselves as Laodicea. They went, oh, God, I hope that's not where we're at. But this is individual. This morning is individual. It's not about where's Burning Bush. It's about where am I? Just me. Just me. Because God's looking for individuals. And hopefully there's a lot of them in Burning Bush. And he said unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning and the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. You know, when I've read that in the past, it's kind of like, God, let me never be lukewarm. I don't want you to spit me out, like reject me. But he didn't mean I will reject you. He said I will spew you out of my mouth. We can't be the mouth of God. We can't be the ones that speak for him. We can't bring forth the voice, the word of God, if we're only lukewarm. God is hot. He's got some hot things to say, and he can't say them through lukewarm. So that's what he was talking about. He said, I would have to spew you out of my mouth. And because you say, I'm rich, I'm increased with goods, I have need of nothing. And you don't know that you are wretched, and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And you know, when we get to a place where we are content, I'm doing fine with God. I don't need anything. I'm doing fine. We just don't know. We have buried some things so deep that we don't know. We have learned how to survive and exist and get through this life. We've learned what it takes in order to be okay, so that we don't just give up and hate everything and hate ourselves and hate people. We've just learned how to get along. And God says, you don't even know. On Sunday morning, Frankie came up for prayer, and Judy was helping me pray for Frankie. Well, God really showed up for Frankie. I think Judy got a little jealous, so Judy said, I want prayer. So we prayed for Judy. God really showed up for Judy. Well, I'm standing there like a Laodicean, thinking, I'm doing fine. You know, I don't think I need prayer. God said, I want you to have Judy pray for you. And I'm like, okay, I'll have Judy pray for me. I'm expecting a good word of prophecy or love or, you know. Judy starts weeping and grieving, and I'm going, God, what's wrong with Judy? And she's praying for me, and it's causing her to grieve, and I don't feel any grief. I've had so much healing. I don't need more healing. And God said, well, she's looking at you when you were 11. Now, oh, man, I hate that age. Suddenly, there I was in that cafeteria at school all by myself, 11-year-old, pigeon-toed, chubby, and cross-eyed, and scared of everybody, and no friends, and I didn't want to be there. And up walks Judy in my vision. She was also 11, and she's just cheerful. You want to sit with me? You want to be my friend? She rescued me from a painful thing in my past. I didn't even know it was there. I didn't even know it was there. I just got over it. But see, we don't just get over it. We just bury things. I brought it up when I was preaching yesterday, but I didn't feel any pain about it anymore until Judy had to go bring up what I looked like at 11 standing in that cafeteria, and I went, oh, I don't want to go there. So I was being blind. I didn't even know I was miserable and wretched and naked until God showed me. So that was a healing, a touch yesterday. God said, I counsel you. He is not spitting you out of his mouth, throwing you away, because he said, I counsel you to do something about it. Come and buy gold tried in the fire. Come and buy something real that's bought by trial. It's not bought by money. It's bought by trial. We need to want pure gold. We need to want something that has been tried. I looked up the word tried. Actually, I looked it up under an Old Testament verse about trying gold. And it said investigated, tested, examined, and scourged and burnt and purified of everything that wasn't pure in it. We need to want gold inside of ourselves. God, I invite you. We're already saying, bring your fire, bring your fire. Do we know what we're asking for? We're saying, examine me. Investigate me, search me, look inside of me, find impurity, and burn it out. God said, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire. It's an invitation to desire it, that you may be rich in white raiment, that you might be clothed. You know, one time in inner healing, God showed me that I had hung on to this whole dress. I loved that. I still miss that dress. It was comfortable. It had a flowy skirt. I just loved the colors in it. It was like I could not give that dress up. It got faded. It got ugly. Well, I put a sweater on and covered that up, you know, because I didn't want to get rid of it. It had tears. It had stains. But I just kept trying to cover it up and hide those things so I could keep wearing it because it was comfortable. God said, well, you need to get out of what's comfortable. It's dirty. It's torn. It's old. It actually doesn't even fit you anymore. You gained a few pounds. You know, it's tight. You need a new garment. Well, we keep wearing the same spirit that we've worn our whole life. We keep wearing that which is old. We thought it protected us. We thought it took care of us. We thought this is how to survive life. We keep wearing the same personality that maybe isn't even our real personality. I wore shyness. which I wasn't created to be, shy and scared of everyone. I wore garments on the outside of who I am to try to survive this life, but they didn't fit me anymore. God said, I want to give you new clothing. I want to get the old off you and set you free to wear white clothing, pure clothing, clothing that's made for you, actually to wear the Spirit of Christ. A garment of white has to be the Spirit of God that He wants to clothe us in. So He said that you may be clothed and that the shame of your nakedness will not appear. It's really funny, when we're wearing all of our fakeness, all of our pretense, all of our, I'm doing fine in life, everything is good, and this is how I want you to see me, and we think we look good in it, others are looking at us and seeing that it's fake, that it's phony, that it's not real, that they're living in fear, they're living in insecurity. Others see it. We're naked and ashamed and wretched and poor and blind and naked, and we don't even know it. And God wants to clothe us. See, we're afraid of taking off those old garments. We're afraid of letting go of the things that protected us. We're afraid to let them go because we're afraid that we'll be seen and it won't be pretty. But what will be seen is Christ in us, and it will be pretty. It will be beautiful. And anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. Eye salve is the Holy Spirit. Our eyes have to be rubbed with the oil of the Holy Spirit so that we can see as God sees, see truth, see everything. Oh, darn. I lost my place. Okay. You just touched this thing, you know. It's gone. Okay. We're being in the Church of Laodicea in Revelation 3, starting in chapter 14. The church we don't want to be, all cold and naked and wretched. So that's where we're going to start today, because honestly, we all are there in some ways, in some places of our life. If we weren't, we wouldn't come to inner healing, because we wouldn't need it. You know, maybe they would be more blind, because we wouldn't know we needed it. That'd be even worse. As many as I love, and He loves all of us, I rebuke and chasten. Well, now He's going to warn us. Because He's talking about being tried as gold, which means we're going to burn away impurities. So now He's warning you before you invite Him. I may rebuke you. You just might have to meet up with rebuke, which is telling you what's wrong, telling you what needs to change. I might chasten you, which means discipline, instruct you, teach you, help you to find the way out of this. So when we invite Him to come inside of us and examine us, He warns us, do you really want me to? Because there might be rebuking, there might be chastening, there might be some instruction that you don't want to take. So before you invite me, realize it might hurt. Burning away impurities might hurt for a little bit. But remember, I love you. Behold, now the invitation. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me. So Jesus starts knocking at the door, and He said, if you hear my voice and open the door. First He let us know what His voice is saying. You need to buy gold. You need to get a real foundation. You need to get rid of the impurities. Yeah, I know everybody came here for healing saying, I'm going to soak in His love. He's going to feel sorry for me, take away the pain, and I'm going to go home feeling good. But most of our inner healing has to begin with facing things we don't want to face. Facing even the way we responded during painful moments when we're wanting to go, they did this to me, they did this to me, they did this to me. But what did we do? Either before it to instigate it or after it because we were angry. So it usually, we can't even get to the healing until we come through facing some hard issues. So that's the first step. And He said, if you hear my voice, if you have heard what I just said, that you need to buy gold, you need to be investigated, you need to be tried in the fires, there's going to be repentance, there's going to be rebuke, there's going to be pointing out what's wrong, and there's going to be some discipline, some correction, and some instruction of what needs to change, and then there's going to be required some obedience. So if you have heard my voice about that, and you still want me to come in, now if you have heard my voice and you open the door, if you will accept what I've said and open the door, I will come in, and I will sup with him, and he with me. Well, yeah, he's going to come and have supper with me. Isn't that cool? Jesus just wants to come to supper. We're going to sit down and eat some steak, if you like, burnt burgers, if you're me. I like them crispy. We're going to maybe have some dessert and some yummy things and just eat. But dinner is about more, isn't it, Tana? The family dinner table is not just about getting food in your face. It is about the fellowship at the end of the day. He didn't say, I'll come have breakfast with you and get your day going good. He does that too. But he said, if you've heard what I've said here, then I'm going to come in and we're going to have supper together at the end of the day. So we're talking at the end of your life at this point. Where are you at? What is the end of the day of your life at this point? Because Janiyah plays a little game at her table, and it's called high-low. What was the high of your day? What was the low of your day? That's the dinner discussion. And Jesus wants to ask you that question. What has been the high of your life? What is the highest peaks of your life where you loved life, felt wonderful, and said, this is the best high of my life? Can you think about that? Does it come quick? If not, maybe you've had too many lows. But what is it that excites you? What has been the high in general of your life? What was the high of your life yesterday? What was the greatest thing about yesterday? What is it? And you're going to be bringing that to him when you go to supper with him. What has been the lowest point of your life? The deepest pain, hurt, disappointment. He may want to ask you. He may even tell you. Because when you say, well, I don't know, I don't like to think about lows. When I did that this morning, which I was sharing a few minutes ago, when I get ready to teach something, I don't want it to just be in my head. I want it to be alive in my spirit. So I ask God, if this is what I'm going to bring to the people today, do it in me. I want you to do it in me. So what are my highs? What are my lows? And I shared my highs and I shared my lows. And I didn't know what my low was going to be. I had no idea what my low was going to be. But he picked one out for me. And it wasn't one that I was thinking about. It wasn't one I was thinking about at all. So, like I always get to do when I get up here, I get to confess my sin. God said, one of the highs in your life, and when I picked my high, I picked when Harvey went to Israel. Because he was gone 3 weeks, and I had 3 straight weeks of visitations from God. He came to babysit me. He came to be with me every day and every night, and I had vision upon vision upon vision of his presence. He danced with me, loved with me, talked with me. He shared things with me. I just experienced God for 3 straight weeks in a phenomenal way. If you aren't married, God wants to be your husband. And man, is he good at it. If you let him be, it can be the best time of your life. It was my high. I had other highs that were worldly. Some of them were business. I believe God created me to start businesses, and I love to start them. I hate to run them. I love the problems, the investigating, the setting it up, the figuring it out, the planning it. And then as soon as it's running smooth, I am bored to death. I don't want to do it anymore. I'm supposed to find other people with a dream and help them start their business, and then I can go help somebody else. So that is a gifting and a call, and I love it. But it's also my low. God said it was also the low of my life. And I went, it was? It was one of my lows that I've never thought about. Because there were a couple of businesses that I started that took me away from my kids. They took me into 70-hour work weeks while my kids stayed with babysitters, and I wasn't with them. And God took me back to see some of the hurting, some of the need, some of the lack that my children had to endure because I was neglecting them during the startup of a business. And that broke my heart. And I went into intercession. I began praying for my children, and I just really saw that that is a danger. And I believe it's in my mind right now because we are starting businesses, and I don't want that to happen again. So God said, we need to burn away the bad part of that thing in your life so that you don't neglect your husband, so that you don't neglect just loving people and ministering to people when it has nothing to do with business. That has to be first. We are first called of God as ministers to others. If there's never a penny in it, and we live in a cardboard box, hopefully it won't snow, but we will survive. There are people living in cardboard boxes surviving. I've seen them in Mexico. I've gotten off the tourist street, and I've gone back in the side streets, and they literally, they weren't putting on a show to beg for money. They were just living in cardboard boxes. It's very sad. But some of them might have been happier than me. Because it doesn't take money to be happy. It doesn't take money to survive. And we need to learn that it takes God to survive. And whenever He has our life, money or no money, house or no house, no matter what you own or what you lose, just walk with God, let Him flow to people, and don't worry about it. Just do what He gives you to do. So we have to keep our walk with the Lord above everything else. And I have a tendency in my life to go off the deep end when I'm starting a business. So God needed to grant me repentance and show me what was wrong. He needed to try me and show me where the error was. Bring to my attention, do this the way I want you to do it, and it's a gift. Get carried away with it, and it's a distraction, which will take you away from me. So I needed that. So I got to live this when I opened my doors this morning. When we do open the doors and allow Him to come in, and we have supper, and we share our highs and lows with Him, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and I'm set down with my Father in His throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. So He's inviting you to begin by listening and end by listening. If you hear my voice, if you understand what I'm saying, I want to take you in the fire, and I want to show you what's wrong, and I'm going to burn it away, and there's going to be repentance, and there's going to be deliverance, and then there's going to be healing and mercy, and I'm going to change your garments and dress you in white, which means you're going to get to wear Jesus as your clothing. Let Him be the hidden man of your heart. And you're going to be sitting with Him in His presence. I like that He said, sit with me. He didn't say, run with me. He said, just sit down. Just rest with me. Just rest with me and let me do things. When He's doing it, we don't wear out. When we're doing it, we wear out. Because flesh can't handle all that God wants to do. I do so much when I'm in the Spirit that my body can't handle a fraction of when I'm not. That's one way I can tell if I'm in the Spirit or not. Because when I can't move anymore, I realize I've walked further than He wanted to take me. And that's why I'm hurting and tired so often. Overcoming. We want to be overcomers. And why? Some of us say, I'm doing fine. I'm satisfied where I'm at. That's fine. You can stay there. But He talks about those who say, I'm rich. I don't need anything. I'm doing fine. He said, you don't know. You're not doing fine. You've just learned how to survive. But I want more than that for you. I'm looking for a people that will carry my glory. I'm looking for a people that will let me so shine out of them that people will see me, find me. Lives will be changed. Miracles will happen when we wear Jesus as our glowing garments, not when we wear our flesh. So this was my prayer this morning, And he led me to write it as I prayed it. And I invite you to pray it with me yourself if you mean it. Say, God, I want my eyes opened by your truth. I want you to come into me. I open my life. Everything inside of me is open to you. I invite you, Jesus. I invite you, Holy Spirit. I want you. I desire truth in every area inside of me. I want to see as you do, think as you do, feel as you do. I want to buy gold, try it in your fire. I want to be clothed in clean garments. I want to be clothed in your spirit. My heart is deceitful. I cannot know truth unless you reveal it. But I'm ready to accept whatever you say. I want you to come and sup with me. I am open, and I want you to come. Lead me to be an overcomer so that I can sit in your presence. Okay, we'll do that. We will do it slowly. God, I want my eyes open by your truth. I want you to come into me. I open my life. Everything inside of me is open to you. I invite you. I want you. I desire truth in all areas of myself. I want to see as you do. I want to think as you do. I want to buy gold, try it in your fire. I want to be clothed in clean garments. I want to be clothed in your spirit. My heart is deceitful. I cannot know truth unless you reveal it. I'm ready to accept whatever you say. I want you to come and sup with me. I'm open. I want you to come. Lead me to be an overcomer so I can sit in your presence. Okay, I want to look now. We have prayed for our eyes to be open, and I want us to realize something. General confession opens the first door. A general confession about attitudes, about sins, whatever he brings to mind. First John said, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I like that. He doesn't just forgive me. He washes it away. So if I want to get rid of it, I need to confess it. So we need to honestly ask God to remove some of the evil spirit guards that are blocking the doorway for him to come in. We need to confess pride, whatever fits, you confess, selfishness, laziness, greed, gossiping, judging, anger, self-pity, insecurity, yes, that's a sin, defensiveness, arguing, control, fear, depression, distractions, too busy, neglect of the word, neglect of prayer, neglecting our fellowship with God, accepting rejection or giving rejection to others. Doubt. Inhibitions. Murder. You say, I'm not a murderer. If you hate somebody and wish that they were just gone, you are murdering their spirit. Drunkenness. Lasciviousness. Loose living. Just living for self-pleasure. Violence. Well, I didn't hit anybody. But do you love watching it on TV? Do you love watching violent type movies? Do you get a thrill out of that? You're taking it in your spirit. Lust, sexual lust, lust for things, coveting, jealousy, adultery, complaining, cold-heartedness. These are evil spirits. We need them to get out of the way if we want our door open to God. So let's say to those spirits, you leave, get out of the way, stop locking the door, because God is coming in. Make way, God is coming in. Might be a few we miss, stress, worry, tension, distrust, impatience, irritability, supersensitivity, intolerance of others. So every spirit, be arrested, be captured. Let everything in me, every thought, be captured and brought into Christ. My own thoughts, Lord, I open every door to you. I trust you. I will not run from any rebuke or confrontation. I will not avoid any issues or guilt or fear. Whatever it takes, I will face it with you and allow deep revelation. So now we're ready for the supper time questions to look at our highs and our lows with God. And then to walk in his instructions in obedience to whatever he brings to us. So I'm going to, we're going to put on some quiet music. This has been words, hopefully anointed, hopefully to prepare our minds to want to meet with God. But the power comes when we meet with God. The power comes when God shows up. A lot of people listen to teaching and then they just want to go run their way. You have to give the Holy Spirit time to bring it into reality, to breathe life into what is said. So if you really want to sup with him now, we're going to put on quiet music. You can go to the couch area. You can go to the kids' pillows over there. You can stay where you are, lay on the floor, lay on the pew. There's chairs back there. Put two together, put your feet up. Create your own bed, pull any two chairs, find somewhere comfortable, kick back, and just say, God, here I am, I'm open, I've prayed, I've invited you, and I'm just going to lay here like I'm going to sleep. Nothing for you to do. Do not start begging, oh, please, 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 praying in tongues, worshiping. Just focus on Jesus and say, here I am. Receive. Some people don't know how to receive. They only know how to keep pressing. Just receive. Just rest. If things come you don't like, don't run away. Ask God, what do we do with this? I always share this, that I was in a vision and I was told by the speaker, I want you to picture a big high tower and you go in and you lock the door and it's just you and God and you are in a safe place. I got in there and a little black, ugly, caped spirit was in, and I was terrified. And I said, God, I thought there was nobody in here but you and me. And he said, I didn't bring him in, you did. And only you can kick him out. I had to face fear and tell him, I will not fear because perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love is in here, so you're not welcome. Get out. And then he was gone. I had to face it because it came with me. So if something ugly comes up, God didn't bring it, but he'll help you face it. So just take some quiet time, as much as you need, little as you need. If you don't, if you think you need to leave, go drive in your car and be quiet alone away from us, that's okay too. I mean, there's no pressure to do anything. Just do whatever God leads and you're comfortable with.